Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I feel like we've been a month since we've been in here, right?
That's what it Sam does, kind of.
It feels like a long time. We're in studio, and it's Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
I lost my notes. Oh,
don't
and
do that.
A happy good morning.
Come on, come on.
And happy August.
Yes.
Damn, it's already August. To everybody in the Druid Hills area.
What was that again?
Druid Hills area.
An area that is rapidly, like, changing.
Yes.
It is evolving.
Druid Hill. Every time
when you get off that exit, I mean, changes just
power.
Jump out at you. You know what
Let
I mean?
Let me tell you something. That is power. That's one of the earliest remembrances I have of growing up in Chicago, when I hear the grown folks talking, and they would talk about their friends who were, wink, 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 connected or had friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so-and-so opened up a restaurant over here on this side of town, and he knew people connected with the Daily Machine and all of that, and they got an exit to their restaurant off the expressway.
Yeah.
That was like a big deal. So you knew power was held by this pump, this person or this company when you saw an exit. Do you see how Arthur Blank's Children's Hospital?
Yeah, it's just totally changed.
That changed that North Druid Hills and 85 exit.
Yeah.
That's power.
Yep. Absolutely.
Now, they're doing it for all the right reasons.
Oh, very
But there
much.
Are hospitals in various places around this city. Right. But nothing that has been reconfigured the way that thing has.
You know, when you think about the different ones where the different hospitals are and how you have to get to them,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's a bit complicated. And you think one of the most dreaded pieces of real estate in this town is trying to drive the Grady Curve. I mean, it's named the hospital. I mean, people think bad things when you're approaching that hospital because of what the traffic always does. This is something different.
You ever talk to friends that don't live here, family members, and then when they come through Atlanta, they always talk about, why is your traffic always so messed up around the Grady Curve?
The Grady Curve.
That's the place I hear the most about it.
Well, because you don't have the exit signs and you don't know until you get to the curb. You need to cross five lanes of traffic to get your exit that's coming up at the hospital, right? You want to get on I-20. And so that's why. If you're coming from another, that's exactly what. I don't know why they can't put that sign back toward Georgia Tech. If you're getting on I-20, you need to start working your way over or something like that. But you don't see that sign until after you get, into the curb. All of a sudden, you got to cross five lanes of traffic if you want to get on I-20, right?
People are discovering that on 285 when it comes to getting on 400 now.
Yeah.
Like you missed
right.
Exit.
Oh, my goodness.
Or coming up 400.
Or getting on Roswell Road.
That one, too.
And, boy, that thing just throws you off over there.
And then when you're coming up 400 to get on 285, if you miss that, you got to go all the way to Abernathy, turn around and come back. So it's been interesting how this has changed things around. Can I say something about the hospital, though? You know, I've been talking about the Arthur Blank Children's Hospital and how I've been trying to help, along with a couple other people, facilitate a relationship between them and the film industry. To get Star X to come by there. And, of course, Ryan Seacrest, and I'll just say this, Ryan Seacrest has got a studio in this place.
Right.
And he's got a studio in a couple hospitals throughout the country.
He was
Seacrest
in town
Studios.
About a month ago. About 3 weeks ago.
They had
town.
Seacrest. It was Seacrest Week, the week of June 23rd or 21st, something like that. Anyway, his people can get to so-and-so. If they hear that The Rock is in town filming something or this celebrity's in town, Seacrest and his office can get them to pick up the phone. Hey, can you stop by the hospital, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
But there are other people who they don't reach out to that I actually can get on the phone, makeup artists and some stunt people and things like that. So we actually have next week some makeup artists that are going to be swinging through the hospital.
Okay.
And I'm not just talking about making you pretty, which they will, the boys and the girls out there, but the ones that do like horror films and make you look like you just met, you don't want to make it too graphic in a hospital, but
still,
Halloween's around the corner. They can make you look special. So we're going to do something next week out there. So shout out to Wendy, Nicholas, who you met at the Peachtree Road Race, and Anna Glenn, nice Southern girl, Anna Glenn.
Yeah.
There we go. Sam and Greg again, man. Good to see you. How was your week?
Nice week. We want to once again say thanks to all the fans that we got to meet last week at this time.
Buddy.
Last week at this time, we were out at Falcons Camp, which is just remarkable. If you haven't had a chance to go, they still have some open practices that are open to the public. Remember, you have to go on the Falcons website, get a ticket. It's free, but you have to have a ticket to go out and attend it, and it's great. It's a great time, a great experience to go out there. Saw a lot of families, a lot of people stopping by saying hello.
A lot of first-timers. I mean, you could see the kids' eyes were as – it's like walking into Disney World.
Isn't it something?
For the first time.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it was so great to see and so great to meet so many of our listeners. So thanks so much, Everett, for stopping by and hollering at us last week, hollering at your folks while we were out there and having fun. And
Jarius Norwood.
Jarius Norwood came through. Keenan Forney came through.
And then,
Tyler Allgeier.
And you played your song. For those who didn't hear it, remind everybody what happened when Tyler joined us. You had to take his memory back to something that you did.
Yeah, last year I was sitting down for a one-on-one interview with him, and for some reason my phone just went into playing a song, playing Spinners, I'll Be Around. You know, it started with the guitar riff. And so I said, wait, and I couldn't get it to stop. I was like, I don't get this thing to stop my phone. And he just went into writing again. Yeah, man, that's old school. I like that. You know? So we had some fun talking with him about
that. Speaking
of
Flowery Branch, we will be out there, we meaning 92.9 The Game, Monday. Morning Shift will be there. Steakhouse and Andy and Randy will be out at Flowery Branch Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They will be out there, the 4th, 5th, and 6th. Then the following, 11th, which is a Monday, and the 12th. So we're going to be all over that place out there.
And, of course, we're leading up to the first preseason game we're going to have, right? First preseason
against
game.
Against those guys, you know, that the Lions. I was trying to, you know.
How you going
to
say it like
that? While I'm watching how I say that, because I got to sound like, I'm into this, but then I got to go home, and you know who them folks are
in my
house.
We can say about the Lions, I mean.
We ain't going to see them anyway.
All of a sudden, they're the cat that's biting people. For the longest time, they didn't bite nobody, you know.
Well, they got to stay healthy. They would have done a lot more last year had they stayed healthy, but nobody's feeling sorry for them.
They were the toothless cat for years.
Yeah.
But the Lions are roaring, and that's going to be the first preseason test.
They say that is the second best division or toughest division in the league this year.
This season. I can see that.
I don't know if you kind of consider the AFC North the toughest. Do you feel that way?
That's very tough. But I think you're talking about with the NFC is going to be tough because people are counting on the Bears being good.
Yes.
The people are counting on the Bears being good this time around. And the way it's looking – That could be the case. It's going to be a fight.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
We got all kind of stuff happening today.
You ready?
We got baseball being played at a NASCAR track. We got all kind of stuff happening.
We do, and we're going to pace ourselves. And speaking of NASCAR, we got Adam Alexander joining us. He's coming up in the next segment. Love us some Adam. We got to talk about what's going on today, but we're also going to go back and get his thoughts on what happened last week, the importance of that, and get his thoughts on baseball being played.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen NASCAR race inside the L.A. Coliseum,
right?
So here we go, this happened the other way around for another sport being played at a NASCAR venue. So I'm curious.
Get cast with Greg, or what's your
Miko P at Sam Crenshaw 23. You drop me something at Sam Crenshaw
23. Give us a sport that you would like to see played somewhere other than its normal venue. So we got this going on today. We got baseball going on at a NASCAR track. We've seen hockey in baseball stadiums. We've seen NASCAR at the Coliseum. Is that it? Where else would you like to see?
Yeah.
You know, so
there's a lot of stuff. Well, think about what we're seeing in what is now, Center Park Stadium at Georgia State. We've seen not only track, we've seen baseball, and now we're seeing football in a venue right here in downtown Atlanta. So that's the other thing. What other sport would you want to see played in a different type of environment? I think that's cool.
Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Jeff Fisher is going to be joining us, Mr. Crenshaw.
High School Football America, and we're going to argue with him once again and see why he don't make our home folks.
Okay.
Why he don't make our folks number one in the nation. Why he always has the Georgia teams down. He'll have a bunch of them in there, but he won't put them up top, right?
Okay, well, he'll answer that question.
He always had them California folk. I'm just saying.
Well, they play around here. Miles Garrett going to be joining us, Fox 5. He's always covering the Falcons. He's out there at the camp sweating. I don't know. He might be out there today. I don't know. And then coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, this is going to be – it's been a minute since we've had a boxing champion on.
I know.
But we got Brian Norman Jr. joining us, WBO welterweight champ. We're going to talk a little boxing. What else are we going to talk about?
He's doing something great for young people today. He's having a book bag giveaway, so he's going to join us to talk about that, why he's doing that. And then his upcoming title defense. I think he has a big fight coming up overseas in the fall. We get him to talk about that a little bit. Proud of our home folks.
All right. Noel, if you please.
It's time for Sam and Greg's Story of the Week.
Could be sports.
Grapefruit League activity.
Could be news.
Could be entertainment.
This is our first time on the VMAs.
It could be, well, anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Sam and Greg's Story of the Week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Sam and Greg.
I think I know where you're going. I'm not going to say nothing, and it's an easy grab, but I mine's a little different, and I got a little heavy heart this week.
Okay.
When something happened. Listen, I think if I'm putting together a baseball team, and you know who I would get into what happened with the Hall of Famers this past week.
Yeah.
But my second baseman will be Joe Morgan. Mm-hmm. But having said that,
yeah,
the backup is going to be a dude we lost this past week.
How about that?
And as I mean, if you're any kind of Chicago, I'm not talking about the Sox fans, but even the Sox fan, he was, like I said, he's in that group of people who, even if you hate the team, they always liked him. It's like Joe Dumars with the Bad Boys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we lost Ryan Sandberg last week.
Yeah.
And when I talk about this dude was to that city. And here's the other thing, too. As I look back at the replays, his passing, I didn't realize something. Dude, if you put a baseball hat on him, he looked like he's Tom Brady's brother. Or vice versa. Tom Brady and Ryan Sandberg look just kind of, it was crazy how much they looked like each other.
Yeah.
When I looked at all this footage from last week. But, I mean, the closeness of what those guys could have done in 84, Leon Durham letting that ball go under his legs. But Ryan Sandberg was, Ernie is always going to be Mr. Cup, Billy Williams and them dudes. But that dude was special. Rick Sutcliffe, Hall of Famer, talking about how he was the heart and soul of that team. And I just love me some Ryan Sandberg. There was a guy who was before him who I thought was the coolest who played second base. And it was a dude named Manny Trio.
Okay.
Manny Trio had a cool way of throwing the first base. And I just loved that. But there was nobody who was ever going to get me like Ryan Sandberg.
Yeah.
All-time home run leader as far as second baseman for a while. I think Jeff Kent passed him. But God bless Ryan Sandberg.
Saw the present a second base, I think, the other night. Sean Dunston.
Threw from shortstop
to
Mark Grace.
Mark Grace. But they replaced the second base bag. And they brought a second base bag and replaced it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he brought that. So
yeah, when he retired, they you know, Gracie came out and threw him one. But yeah, that infield then, but Sean Dunston, he threw to first base like Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
It was the fastest. Mark Grace would talk about that anytime. Anyway, rest in peace, Ryan Sandberg. That was my story of the week.
Me? I have something to do with people's taste buds.
Really?
That has gone away in our state.
Into the radio.
And unexpectedly, most people, when they go to Savannah, a part of going to Savannah is going to eat at Paula Deen's restaurant, the Lady and Sons.
Okay.
Closed down Thursday at the end of work Thursday, shut it down. Suddenly, wasn't announced. 2 or 3 days, y'all want to come? We're ready to close. We're gonna close it. Just closed it down. Been there since 2013. And just left one message. Says, Sons and I have a heartfelt decision. This Thursday, July 31st, was the last day of service for the Lady and Sons and the Chicken Box. And so, but so many people have gone. Some people say, oh, it's just a tourist attraction. You're going to stand in line or you got to. I mean, I've been there twice. The first time I went, I had to go in the morning to say, okay, I'll come back and eat in the evening.
It's crazy. I've never been there, right?
It was nice. The last time I was in Savannah, I had a chance to go by there and eat. But it is closed. She does have some other locations.
I was going to say, she got places. A bunch of restaurants.
Well, not a bunch. She's got one in Nashville, one in Pigeon Forge and Myrtle Beach. And but then, of course, she's got the cookbook. She's got
telethon for her.
Not at all. But, I mean, that's been a part of one of the things when people go to Savannah. There are a lot of places to go eat. Don't forget, you go to Savannah, you're going to have some good food.
Mm-hmm.
But this place that's been a staple that people have looked for is no longer there. And just out of the blue. It's kind of been, I mean, don't think, well.
Think you
don't,
something you, hinky's
you,
going on?
Oh, well, you don't know. You don't know what's the reason
why. She
went
through some stuff before, you know.
I realize that, but I think some of the people I've read that said they were noticing the place the last week or so, you know, people finishing up summer vacation, lines, people packed, the place is packed as usual. But maybe just felt like this was a time. She's 78 years old, and really, she got her sons kind of run it, you know. They decided they just want to. Don't want to do it anymore, I guess.
Okay.
We'll stay tuned and see what's happening, but you can't go eat it. Yeah. You can't go eat at Paula Deen's.
Nope.
She ain't cooking with butter for you, honey. She ain't doing that for y'all.
I heard the craziest fact, and I got to this party late. I did not know about one of the most luxurious, I don't know if that word is, can you use luxurious when you talk about a country?
You can.
Okay. One of the most luxurious and special locations on the planet. I heard something crazy about this place, It has something to do with the original Dream Team, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to share that with you coming up in the top of the next hour. As we welcome Adam Alexander. Where's he at?
Yeah, Iowa.
Sorry to hear that.
Iowa, apparently he's not. He's out there. They're getting ready to go racing out in Iowa.
I've been to, what was that place called?
Des Moines.
No, not Des Moines. I've been to the Quad Cities. I've been there before.
Okay.
This is a place called The Ramp. Burlington, Iowa.
I've been
to Burlington, Iowa before.
Outstanding.
Yeah, not really.
Don't you want to go?
No, I don't. The band was playing there at some venue. Anyway, it's Sam and Greg. We're just getting started on this Saturday morning, the second day of August. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. And take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning, second day of August. We shouted out to Druid Hills folks earlier in the show. All the Van Halen fans out there for that. Are you a Sammy or a Dave Van Halen?
Sammy.
You have a preference?
Yeah, he's like Van Halen, period.
You what?
It was like the band, period.
Okay, but were you more connecting with Sammy or Dave? See, I just put it this way. Dave's more of a frat party.
Okay.
Sammy was more of a musician.
Okay.
And you saw that in the way the band
played
during those years. It was a frat. Spicoli wanted him at his party, right?
Yeah.
But then the musicians emerged.
I think I like the character.
Oh, well, yeah, it's all about that.
Yeah, it's a character.
It's all about that. Yeah. Are you ready for this? It was before we bring Adam on here, and he probably knows this, but I tripped and fell into this piece of information.
What?
This past week. The country of Monaco, right? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, right.
And I mentioned they had a little connection with the Dream Team because the Dream Team had a practice at Monte Carlo, the famous, you know, game they played there, and then they kind of lazily went into it, and then Chuck Daly got mad and made them play a game the next day on their day off, and that's when the most famous game happened, where Michael and Magic's team went up against each other, and they all say, each one of them to a man said, that was the best game they ever played, and kind of the torch was passed from Magic to Michael during that time. That all happened in Monte Carlo. But the reason I bring up Monaco is this. Did you know that Monaco, the country, in its entirety, could fit in the Central Park? Think about that for a second.
Wow.
The country of Monaco can fit inside of Central Park. Central Park spans 843 acres, while Monaco covers approximately 514 acres. Insignificant information. I can't top that today. The most insignificant piece of information that you will get
also,
today.
Also, in Monaco, they have a very famous road race there.
Yes, they do.
Very famous F1 race that takes place there. But we're going to a place that's going to get the Cup Series.
That was smooth.
Cup Series, going to a place we haven't seen them there a lot lately, but they're returning to Iowa Speedway. And Adam Alexander joins us now. I hadn't caught up with him in a few weeks.
Yeah.
From out of Iowa. Good morning, Adam. Welcome.
Welcome, Adam.
How you doing, guys? Good to be with you again.
What'd you think of that little nugget we just threw out there? And would you like to call a race in Monaco or call that race?
Well, you know what? It'd be a long travel. You know what I mean? I hope I get upgraded to business class on that, you know?
Man, after what you've done the last few weeks, you would have nothing but the best class flight over there. Talk about the fact, you know, you're going back to, this week. You know, you're going to do the Xfinity race this week. But the last few weeks, we found you guys, you know, streaming, and then you were with TNT. Talk about what the adventure's been like for you the last few weeks.
Really?
It really has been a wild summer. You know, 10 weeks with doing Cup and Xfinity. And I should say 9 weeks because Michigan was a weekend when Xfinity was off. So 9 of those 10 weeks we had both series. But, yeah, we spent 5 weeks doing Amazon Prime and welcomed them to NASCAR. And, you know, I believe all that was received really well. I feel like the feedback we got from the fans and just NASCAR as a group, the whole community was very positive about what Amazon and Prime Video was able to do as they came in and introduced themselves to NASCAR. And then we made the transition there at Atlanta, Echo Park Speedway, when we were with you guys. And Turner took over and TNT back in NASCAR, first time they've been in the sport since back in 2014. And so it was great to have them back, and we had a wonderful run with them, really enjoyed our 5 weeks, and just thought the tracks that we went to were awesome, had the first ever in-season challenge, which was neat to be a part of, and wrapped it all up last Sunday at the Brickyard 400. So it was a very busy but a truly rewarding summer, and glad to have been a part of all that.
Adam Alexander joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Adam, last week's win with Bubba Wallace at the Brickyard, the significance of that, but more importantly, that what I saw at the end of that race only happens a few times. When you see the other drivers make a point of going up there to him and congratulating him in a way that they all felt this was a special win, and they were so happy for him. And I just wondered how that landed on you last week.
Well, I would say it checked a lot of boxes. Number one, you know, Bubba's a good dude and a real popular guy in the garage, and everyone recognizes that. And so anytime he wins, I feel like it's going to be received well by his fellow competitors. But then I would say the other side of that is everyone can sympathize with a driver that hasn't won in a while and the pressure that comes with that and the difficulties of winning a cup race in NASCAR. And Bubba hadn't won in 100 races. And so everyone also is able to understand just how significant that win is for him, and you know the weight that puts on you, and how that is lifted after you're finally able to finish the deal, and so I think everyone recognized that, and it was a huge win, not just because it's a Brickyard 400 and it's a crown jewel race and you've won at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but then you look, you know, Bubba had spent like 25% of his career in the last 3 years, 25% of that time had been spent on the playoff bubble. There's no more sleepless nights created than when you're living on the edge of, am I going to get in the playoffs or am I not? And Bubba's been living there week in and week out. And so when you win, you're locked into the playoffs. And it just takes so much off of him now, not just that the winless streak is over, but that you know you're in the playoffs, you've won a crown jewel race. There is just so much about this that equals, you know, success and accomplishment. And so it's awesome for Bubba. It's great for that team because 2311 had not won this year after a pretty successful year last year with Tyler Reddick and making the championship four and winning the regular season championship. So it was nice for them, and now you can spend 4 weeks getting ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, it was Bubba's third win. It was the ninth for 2311. I was talking to Noel about this before we went on. He's like, I was a little surprised. We didn't see Jumpman anywhere on his car. The Jumpman is not on Bubba's car.
Well, not on that one.
Okay, I'm just saying, well, you got another one?
Well, no, but I mean, well, you got different paint schemes. Your paint schemes change up each week.
You would just think that Jumpman would be very prominent on there. That's just me.
He's here more than Tyler Reddick's car. Talk about the end of that race, though, Adam, and I'm listening to you.
Yeah.
And it seemed like some people are going to run out of gas. And if you had several restarts, you're probably going to start losing some guys that were up toward the front. So I think that made it a little dicey, a little interesting, especially for you.
Well, it did, and it's so hard when you have a race like that because it, you know, you go to overtime. And here's the crazy thing about it. We got that rain shower, and, you know, Bubba was really close to just being done, right, like finishing it off. And you know, we were probably 5-10 minutes away from that race being, you know, over. And then we get the caution for rain, and now you have to sit and wait, and now you introduce a restart and the potential of running out of gas. And so there was a lot of drama, just a lot of thoughts going through the mind of Bubba. And then I think about his crew chief, you know, because it's kind of like danged if you do, danged if you don't, right?
Yeah.
If you pit, you know you're giving up a ton of position, you can't win the race. But if you don't pit and you run out of gas, you know, he's in a points battle. And so if you win the race, you're in the playoffs. If you run out of gas, you might lose however many positions and not have a playoff position. So they were just living on the edge, and it was so difficult for them and so many teams because of how close it was. But that's where I give so much credit to Bubba because, you know, the thought process could be, man, you're going after a big win. Just hold that thing wide open and go get it, right? But you can't do that. You've got to massage it to be able to save fuel and then, you know, hit your marks and keep one of the best in the business behind you and Kyle Larson, who won this race last year. So there was a lot there and very nerve-wracking and the satisfaction. You know, when he won his first race, Bubba, it was at Talladega,
yeah,
and it was rain shortened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, winning in the draft, there's a bit of a wild card element to it, and so I know he wanted to win again. He won at Kansas, and that's big, but to win like this and to beat the guys that he beat is pretty remarkable and a special day for him and everyone involved.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Adam Alexander. He is social. You can always find him at Adam, numeral one, Alexander, Adam 1 Alexander. Not a really long drive from Indianapolis, I guess, to Iowa, but a world of difference when you talk about the configuration. Talk about racing at this place and what we're going to see this weekend.
It's a tough short track, and it's one of two short tracks that remain between now and the playoffs for the Cup Series. And, you know, we go to Richmond in 2 weeks' time. We got a road course next week, and we'll wrap up the regular season at Daytona. So only four races to go in a regular season. But this is 7/8 of a mile, so just short of a mile is Iowa Speedway. But this surface is worn out. They actually did some patching and repaving last year, and it's funny how, you know, last year where they repaved it, it was real prominent, right? I mean, it was just that dark black asphalt color because it was fresh. And already just a year later, you know, you've got the weathering that goes on in Iowa because the, you know, just where they are located geographically and how bad the weather is there and the freezing and thawing and all of that. You can already just see where the patches are starting to wear out. So this track is just, it's hard place to get around. It's hard to find grip because it's so worn out. So, you know, the racing here is pretty entertaining. It's a wide racetrack. Rusty Wallace designed this place. It's wide to give you options. Restarts are big here, and you know, this will be a very, very interesting race. I believe, you know, tomorrow when the Cup cars hit the track in the middle of the day, you know, grip will be a major question mark. Tires will play a role, and track position is always really, really big when you go short track racing. So this will be a real fun one for sure.
You know, Adam, we got race cars going on in the Coliseum out in California, not so much this year, and today we got baseball in NASCAR tracks. What are your thoughts on this, man?
Did you ever?
Well, I got to tell you, Marcus Smith, who owns that track, has done a great job of being innovative and thinking outside the box. And, you know, they've just done some great things over the years, and Bristol really allows you to do that because it is a stadium feel. It's a half-mile racetrack. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you think about going out to your local high school, that's a quarter mile, right? I mean, the track around the football field is a quarter mile. Bristol's a half mile, so double the size. But you put 100,000 seats around it. It's just a coliseum. That's what they call the place, mm-hmm. And that's what it feels like when you're there. They played football there. Tennessee and Virginia Tech played football there a number of years ago. But now the baseball game. And this is a great collaboration. Fox has worked with Marcus Smith and his group. And this is going to be good. The Reds and the Braves playing at Bristol Motor Speedway. And if you've seen the renderings of it or seen the pictures now that place is built out on online, social media, go check it out. It's unbelievable what they have done, and this is really, really neat to have a Major League Baseball game inside Bristol Motor Speedway, and it just speaks to how special that venue really is.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out how, you know, where you could do this again, so we were thinking maybe a horse race. Like the Belmont is a mile and a half, right? If you put that inside of a track. If you did that at Daytona, have a horse race inside Daytona or Indy on the grass part, would that work? If I said,
I got to tell you this story real quick. You mentioned horse track. A number of years ago, I was working locally in Evansville, Indiana, and I was starting to do some NASCAR stuff. And there's a racetrack there, a horse track there in the Evansville, you know, area, but it's actually in, you know, in Kentucky, in Henderson, Kentucky, mm-hmm. But it's owned by Churchill Downs. And they do a live meet there, you know, every summer. And the local radio station on April Fool's Day wanted to say that NASCAR was coming there and they were going to race on the dirt at that racetrack, Ellis Park, what it's called. And they didn't want me to come on and say that they were going to do it because they didn't want to compromise me and my relationship to NASCAR. They just wanted me to come on and comment about what the race would be like and whatever to kind of build up the momentum of the gig. And I'm telling you what. They had people losing their minds about the fact that NASCAR was coming to race at Ellis Park, and it turns out to be this huge April Fool's joke. So, anyway, that made me think of that when you said that. Pretty funny.
Well, we're going to watch tonight and see what happens. I know you're a big baseball fan. I'm sure you're going to be checking out, you know, what happens with this race. And maybe we see it happen at some other places. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see. We appreciate you spending some time with us, as always.
As always, Adam.
Have a great call today out in Iowa, and thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, great to be with you guys. Have a good one. I look forward to the next one.
There you go. That is Adam Alexander joining us. And then we're sitting up here looking at we got to talk at some point, speaking of racetracks, what's possible out at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Echo Park.
Thank you.
We got to get used to saying that. That's right. Is that a fine every time we do that?
I have to call Ed Clark.
Brandon Hutchison. All right. Yeah. All right. The Braves got hit again with some news this past week. We're going to talk about that. Coming up next, we're talking about them playing. Hey, listen, maybe Bristol will take some of the sting away from losing our right fielder.
How about that?
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on this second day of August. It's a Saturday morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Saturday mornings. I could just keep listening to this all day long. We're going to hear from Noel coming up later on in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Along with Jeff Fisher.
I hope she gives us something on WNBA and on our team.
Well,
the Dream got a win last night. And
you can't program her segment, though.
Well, I know.
That's her segment.
I'm just saying that I can wish.
But you wished it out loud. Now you got to put pressure on her.
No pressure.
No, Sam, you can dream.
You can dream. Oh, see, you left that one. There we go. Noelle got shocked. She got shocked earlier today.
Oh, really?
Which I don't know if she's gonna throw that in there. She saw a picture of me that she didn't think she'd see.
Ooh. Oh.
There was a reason down the dial they come. You know, we talked about Malcolm Jamal Moore, and I had a nickname at the other place is Theo because I had a high top then. And
okay.
Noelle goes, I got to see that high top.
and she did. Oh my!
She also saw, which mm-hmm. I'll show you. Well, I'll save it for the next segment.
Okay.
I will. A story I've been telling for years, I brought visual.
Really?
Of. Yes. It doesn't work for radio for the audience, but it'll work for you, and you'll just sit there with a gog. All right, so the news hits. You watch him limping out there in right field. You're watching the Braves this past week, and you're thinking, it's almost like the last nail in the coffin that lets you know the ball is not bouncing your way this year. In the slimmest of hopes that you had something going on possibly the second half of the season for these guys to maybe be a wild card, maybe do this, and it was like, nah, it's done now.
I mean, he's in a walking boot. It's not good. We're talking about Ronald Acuña Jr. and, you know, the problems that he's had. And, you know, we've watched him play this season, and when he, you know, really accelerated to do some things that we – are accustomed to see him doing, there's always this thing in the back of your mind. Ooh, do we really want to do that?
We saw him do it.
Yeah.
Because he talked about when he did it, and I remember that play. It was, I forget what day of the week this was, but he was on first base. And whoever hit one out in the gap, and he scored from first base where there had been only three other players in the league who would have scored. But he looked like a comet going around the bases, right? And it looked great. And there was nothing. And even after that, it wasn't like he started limping for the rest of that game. You didn't see it then, but then he said it was that run when he went from first and scored that's what aggravated. And with every day that passed, it got worse and worse.
Yeah. So. That's simply incredible. Simply incredible. You know, for someone with his ability and someone who we know means what he means to this team and to this team's chances for success. Mm-hmm. And to have that happen at a juncture of a season that is just – you know, in so many ways, just confounded everybody for a season when this team has been on display and been on center stage, obviously hosting All-Star Weekend. Now tonight, having this rare opportunity to play up at Bristol that everyone's going to be watching and paying attention to, and just to have this team, you know, just sputtering and misfiring and inconsistent, and then to have this injury take place. So obviously, the pitching staff has had its problems with injuries as well throughout the season. And so that's just adds to it. You know what I mean?
You got Spencer Strider going tonight against Chase Burns. But the question remains, are you just surprised that Marcell Ozuna is still a part of this team?
I am. I thought that maybe they have done something with him. But he's still here.
Yeah.
Yeah, played last night. And, you know, we'll – you see what happens going forward.
I just look at it like he didn't impress nobody that they wanted to make that deal with.
Well, I mean, he hasn't been that guy.
He hasn't been this season.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing. You think about even last season, he kind of carried this team, you know, almost himself. He kind of willed that. So we know when healthy and when his game's on, we know what he can do. It hasn't been that season. He's been bothered by an injury as well that has you know, limited his productivity. And so you wonder who you're going to deal, who you have somebody that people would really want and feel like they want to make a deal for, and then I guess it never happened.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We were, that's the website, of course. Go check out all the interviews that happened here this past week.
Now, they played the Reds yesterday, early game in Cincinnati.
I didn't even know that was going on. I just completely, who does a Friday afternoon game?
You know what? And the Braves didn't know it was happening either. They had 14 strikeouts. They struck out 14 times. They didn't know it was happening either, apparently.
Who does a Friday afternoon?
This is the first game of the season, man. You used to afternoon game.
Since when? They got lights in that place since 1988.
But growing up, you
we ain't talking about back in the day. I'm talking about now. Who has a Friday? Short of it starting off the season, it was just strange time for a Friday game.
Yeah.
You want that night crowd. You want the stuff going on.
Well, I mean, you got somewhere to be. You got somewhere to go. So I mean, you got to pack
what
up.
What you
and
mean
you
somewhere?
You got to go to Bristol. You're playing the Braves. Not playing in Cincinnati today.
I know that, but I'm just saying it was
kind of like a getaway day that wasn't a getaway day. Usually getaway day is a daytime game. So it's like a getaway. Because they got to get over to Bristol. they do have to got to get out.
From Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yes.
To Bristol, Tennessee.
Yes.
You could walk that.
Yeah, but they got
to
go out.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't like they got to go to Europe.
They're going
to
get up today, and they're going to practice on the field.
All right, well, good
They got to do that. You're right. So you got to do that.
Well, that's what they missed yesterday. That's
what's happening. So yesterday was kind of in a fog because they tried to get to this game tonight, Greg.
All right, I just
you want to just ride over on the bus, get off?
Yeah,
here we are. Let's go. Let's go play the game.
Everybody would have stopped at Bucky's on the way over there, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there's one out there somewhere on the highway between Cincinnati and Bristol.
So we talked about this, man. Where else do you want to see something like this happen?
Wow.
You want to see a sport played in a venue other than where it normally is played.
We talk about the L.A. Coliseum and the fact that NASCAR played there.
Yep.
People have to be reminded that the first year the Dodgers were in Los Angeles, Dodger Stadium was not ready.
Mm-hmm.
They played baseball in the L.A. Coliseum.
Well, and the Bears played at Wrigley Field.
You know, but I'm talking about a place. Yeah, I mean, so,
regularly they played.
To me, it's different because you've seen football played. We saw that here in Atlanta with Fulton County Stadium. But to have a place that's an egg-shaped place, and now you're going to put a baseball field in there. Mm-hmm. That's odd. I see some cheapy home runs.
The distance is still the same.
Really?
Yeah. It 400 feet straight center field.
But I'm talking
down
about
the line. Look, they got 302 at Fenway, the Pesky's pole there, and then the Dodger Stadium.
But this is a place to set at an egg. The L.A. Coliseum, I'm talking about the way that thing's set up. Somebody got some cheapy home runs.
No, but they still have X amount of feet for the fences. Even though it's set up differently, it's not like they're going to be 250 feet
Maybe not that, but I mean, to me it would seem that way. But that's where they played the first season before they got Dodger Stadium done. So they played baseball in that venue as well as now they've had NASCAR. Of course, they're going to put the track back in, I think, for the upcoming Olympics. The track is out of the L.A. Coliseum. It's been gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's prime seating for Southern Cal football. So, I mean, but they're going to put that back into that place. So we talked about a venue where things would work, and you want to try some things. You want to do that now, or are we saving that for later?
No, the thoughts is we sit here and talk. You just schooled me on Cincinnati, and, they had to leave.
We always talk about outdoor basketball, and we don't see people playing on the blacktop anymore. And that's the thing that's kind of associated with up the East Coast. Philadelphia, New Jersey, New York. That's always been a proven ground. We're getting ready to go to, I've been watching tennis all week because it's been on all day and all night. They're playing up in Canada.
Okay.
The women are in Montreal, the men are in Toronto, playing the Canadian Open. You're getting ready to go to the U.S. Open. And the Arthur Ashe Stadium, I think, is the largest tennis stadium. We could play some basketball in there. Have big-time basketball in that facility and play. I mean, it's in New York, which is always a big place, but a different type venue for basketball in New York and play in what is your largest outdoor tennis stadium. I mean, they got a roof that can close, retractable roof, but
that's not bad.
To play basketball in there, I think would be a kick.
That's pretty good. But the other thing about that is
that would bring basketball to another borough of New York. That would bring basketball to Queens because
right.
You already got one NBA team in Brooklyn. Everybody else plays out in Manhattan. That would be able to play basketball.
That's right.
So I mean.
Are you surprised that there hasn't been more televised Rucker Park games? You talk about it. They had an event. We know they go out there. The players go out there. They do it. They don't make announcements about it. They got to go. And that's like their venue.
But before I say it, before I'm saying, I'm not sure that it's not out there on
Yeah, I know, somebody, but I'm talking about a network, like though,
yeah,
that hasn't gone out and does something with them.
They're probably spending the money they would spend on that. They're probably spending it on Big Three. They're probably spending that on Big Three. You know what I mean? Because that is really caught on, and that's something that people are really, really watching and paying attention to. But I get what you're saying,
yeah, man.
Because that was the old school proving ground. And maybe that says a little bit about today's game, as we have all these travel leagues and AAUs and everything's air conditioned, man.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going out in that heat. What are you talking about?
And
the parents don't want to sit out there and watch. And the parents, if they're going to be watching, they want to sit in the air conditioning.
Well, hockey's
those coaches that are recruiting and scouting, they don't want to sit out there.
I'm just telling you, we watch folks sit outside that are used to sitting in climate controlled environment watching hockey, and they get out there at Yankee Stadium and Wrigley Field and the Big House in Michigan and all the other places they played the Winter Classic at.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. You know, but I'm not sure that we don't have the stuff at Rucker Park. That stuff is probably on Twitch. It's probably
I would imagine it is.
Right, something like that, right?
I mentioned this to Adam. Horse race at one of these tracks.
I thought Dover had horse racing. Dover's racetrack is known as Dover Downs. I got to go back and look at it, where they run NASCAR. I think maybe at one time they did have horse racing there. So I don't think that's so far fetched to have that at a place. You got a big area, just like the place we got down on the south side. You got a lot of area out there to do some things with, you know. So seeing this thing tonight once again gives people some thoughts. We'll probably see something else again at some of the NASCAR venues. I think it'd be remarkable to see. Yeah.
My mind's going.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to come up with stuff here. I'm trying to think. Okay, we can't have a race at an airport, but that'd be kind of cool. I'm thinking of speed with the bus.
Yep.
Anyway, we are here on this Saturday morning. Again, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Jeff Fisher, High School Football America preseason poll. Noel's World is coming up. We're going to talk to Miles Garrett. He's out there at Falcons camp. And Brian Norman Jr.
The champ is here.
Brian Norman Jr., we got ourselves a boxing champ coming up.
The champ is here.
It's 11 o'clock hour. It is Sam and Greg.
The champ is here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. Quit banging on the tables, man.